You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We have very special guest, author Britton Dukes. We've got Britton in the studio to talk about his new book, Party Boy, which is his debut novel, his first ever novel. We'll also be talking about the launch party over at Woof later in the week. Good morning to you, Britton. How are we, man?
Kia ora, Zach. I'm good, man. Good to see you.
I'm very, very happy to see you, man. Funny, we're both ex-Woof workers.
Yeah, that's it's a good pedigree to have, though.
It is a good pedigree to have. And Woof, you know, was probably the best hospo place you could have ever asked to work at, I reckon. It's a good spot.
Far and away. I worked in a few dodgy hospo places, so yeah, Woof was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Reflecting on that time, I mean, in the book, Marco is sort of a little bit insecure about being like older at a place mostly full of young people. Was that an autobiographical experience for you?
I guess, yeah, I was aware that I was older, but everyone treated me nicely. So as with the case, with all the content in the book, what I was mostly interested in was sort of exaggerating emotions that I'd experienced. So, no, Woof was awesome to work at. It did provide me some useful material for the book.
Okay, awesome. Before we get talking about the book, I want to know, are you still a big tenter? Are you still big on tenting?
Yeah, that was a while ago. Not so much now that I've got three young boys. They like camping. I'm more interested in comfortable beds.
Whereabouts is the best spot for tenting around Otago, do you reckon?
Oh, man, I'm not the right man to ask. let's say somewhere in central Otago.
Okay, very, very fair answer. In an interview from 2014, you mentioned that being on holiday, you don't look for ideas, but the idea of relaxing sort of generates ideas. Can the same thing happen when you're working? Because clearly, as I mentioned before, you've got a lot of ideas from this book from working at Woof. You know, the main character is kind of a mirror of you and your times at Woof.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I think the way the book came together was the sort of infrastructure of the novel is Marco works at Woof, which is obviously something I did. He went to Otago Boys, which is the school I went to. He's a father, I'm a father. So all of those things helped sort of set up the structure of the book. And from there, it was the freedom and joy of writing fiction for me.
Mm-hmm. And the freedom and joy of writing fiction for you, I think, comes down to writing about what you know and fictionalizing it. And you know Woof very, very well. Was there a particular moment where you realized that you could use your experience at Woof as sort of a base or a foundation to tell a vulnerable story about how imposed masculinity really hurt you and kind of held you back?
Yeah, no, not really. I was working on this non-fiction project about Otago Boys, and that got too much for me. And I just sat down one morning and just thought, okay, just write about a guy in the kitchen at Woof who is sort of losing control of himself and is losing control of that particular evening. Mm. And then through, I guess, what I'd been thinking about and talking to people about the Otago Boys stuff entered the story. Mm. And same with the sort of parenting and relationship stuff. So when I started, it was just a matter of how can I tell an interesting story and where can I find drama.
And where did that drama come from?
In the case of that first scene, I just wanted to continually put Marco under more and more pressure. Mm. So he gets orders that he can't keep up with. There are some boys, some men who have turned up from his old school who want to talk to him. He drinks a martini, he's taking tramadols.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to put Marco in the most difficult situation I can.
Yeah, yeah.
And create interest, humour and drama from there.
And that also leads up into his 50th birthday.
That's right. Yeah.
I think I didn't read very far because I'm not very good at reading PDFs. I prefer the paper but copy, which came today. I'm going to give this a good read. But I think the point I get up to is where Jeff, the boss, walks in and Marco says something jokingly to him, but it doesn't come off jokingly and it comes off kind of worrying because he's starting to feel a little bit of pressure.
He unravels in that first scene. I won't give too much away, but he then the idea is then will he be able to pull off this 50th birthday? That's the sort of the question for the reader through the book.
Yeah. I can't remember what page it is, and you're going to have to excuse my language, listeners, but there's a page where I think Marco describes himself as a fuck, which I thought was such a great term.
Right.
It's so self-effacing.
Yeah, yeah. There's some bad language. he has, I guess, low self-esteem. He's confused. He's trying to figure himself out and figure his life out, kind of in real time as the story unfolds.
I saw that the word arancini was mentioned 33 times. Olives were mentioned 27 times. I think fries and chips were mentioned about 20 times combined.
Yeah.
Was that the trickiest item to prepare at Woof?
Ooh, it was a sort of a gooey, fiddly, annoying thing, but the worst than that was the cheese balls. So yeah.
Oh, really?
Arancini second behind cheese balls.
You're not a fan of cheese balls?
Not a fan of those.
To eat or as well?
Either.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the cheese balls. I mean, people love them.
They do, and fair play, but I have nightmares about that stuff, yeah.
Oh, man. Although you've been a writer for quite a while now, Party Boy is your first novel, as your other books that you've put out were short story collections. Was it tricky jumping into working with a longer medium?
Yeah, it was. When I started writing, I just wanted to get a story going. I wasn't thinking so much about writing a novel. I guess in my mind, I thought this will probably be a long short story or a novella. But as I got into the story and started writing some of the flashback scenes and started thinking how I could finish it off, I realized it would be a novel. Yeah, with a novel, you've got to keep more in your head in terms of the story as you're trying to solve problems. So that took a different sort of thinking compared to short stories.
Much of this book focuses on reckoning with some dark stuff from your high school, at Otago Boys High School. I read that there's an old motto on the school gate, Dulce e decorum est pro patria mori. It is sweet and fitting to die for one's country. Was it the logic behind that motto that sort of, you know, regrettably taught you to keep your head down and to kind of not stand out?
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't aware of that motto until recently. I think most of the all-boys schools in Aotearoa the beginning of time, I don't know what they're like now, but back when I was a kid, they all had this sort of crushing conformity. Rugby was important, maths and science were important, but being different wasn't really encouraged or nurtured, and certainly your emotional needs as a boy, that wasn't part of what the school was looking at. So I didn't ever set out to write a book about masculinity or toxic masculinity. The driving force for me is always just trying to tell a good story, and that sort of other stuff came through as the project developed.
Part of the foundation of this book comes from testimonies of ex-students from the same high school as you went to, Otago Boys, who were victims of a predatory teacher at the school. You took away from those interviews the mood and atmosphere of the institution. Without getting into the nitty-gritty of what happened to those unfortunate students, you know, what perspective did those interviews add to your experience that you might not have already had?
Yeah, mostly they confirmed what I thought confirmed what I knew about school from my time there, which was that for many boys it was really a hard place to sort of thrive in, that there was a lot of fear sort of built into the place, a lot of bullying, and that school became a place sort of to survive rather than to thrive in. That's kind of it really just confirmed what I sort of knew about the school. I didn't really specifically use any of the stories that I heard, but like you said, it's more the emotion and the tone of those interviews that thread through the novel.
Have you had correspondence with anyone from the school currently?
I approached the rector when I was thinking about doing a non-fiction project, and he agreed to meet, but he didn't want to talk about anything that had happened in the past in the school, which was really the only thing that I was interested in. I haven't heard from any teachers who I did try to contact a few. I think the school's primary concern, I don't know what it's like these days, but its primary concern back then was reputation. That may have changed. I don't know.
You've got a son who's about to go into intermediate school. How do your high school experiences at OBs make you think about where he should go?
I really hope he goes to Logan Park. That's really it. but, you know, he's an independent, free-spirited thinker, as are my other kids. So they might want to go to an all-boys school, but my wish is that they go to Logan Park and hang out, smoke weed, make music. Be cool dudes. Yeah.
Amen to that, man. Amen to that. Fire out. There's a really great piece in Newsroom about you and the book. It details some experiences from your 20s and 30s when you felt a little bit lost. And you've said that this book isn't autobiographical, but writing was an escape for you back in those times where you felt a bit more lost. Does Marco have a release valve like that? Does he have kind of a self-actualizing salve, a cure?
No, and I think that's what he's sort of looking for through the course of the book. Where he gets to is he starts going to therapy fairly early on, and that's how I use the flashbacks in the book. So what we see in the book is him beginning to find a way to some sort of inner peace through therapy and through being emotionally sort of truthful with his family and his friends. And so we see the beginnings of that in the book.
And is that an autobiographical kind of experience?
No, because I've always had the writing, which has given me some sort of sense of who I am. Marco's a really extreme version of someone who's experienced trauma as a child and is sort of trying to figure his life out. Therapy, yes, I've done therapy and am doing therapy, and it's really good.
Awesome. Accompanying the book release, there is a track from the Broken Heartbreakers, written by John Howell, who's a friend of yours from the band. You went to the same high school at the same time. Would you say there's a little bit of a trauma bond there?
Totally, yeah. John was writing his album, which is coming out soon, and I was writing my book, and we would meet at Woof and drink beer and talk about school, talk about our lives, talk about the projects we were working on. It's just really nice to have someone who goes back so far and who sort of understands the psychological landscape of what it was like to go to that school and to grow up in the 80s and 90s.
Was there anything that sort of paired you two together in school?
We weren't mates at school. He was a hard-ass sort of rock star who gave up playing football and started smoking cigarettes and telling the school to get fucked. And I was a skinny little terrified guy who saw John and kind of got a feeling that he was doing the right thing and expressing his freedom, but I didn't have the guts to do it. I only met John again about 10 years ago, and I was like a fanboy, and we became friends.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful, man. Yeah. There's a really, really exciting launch party happening at Woof this Sunday. The vibe of the event is pretty open to the public. It's non-exclusive.
Totally open. Yeah. 3 o'clock, Woof, on Sunday. There'll be some speeches, some music, some readings, books to buy.
You'll be signing stuff.
I'll be signing. I'll be like a trembling mess in a Hugo Boss tracksuit, and I'll probably cry and sob, and so come along and watch me break down.
You can read the breakdown, and you can watch it at Woof as well. And the book is kind of everywhere. It's at Work Halls. You can find it at the Te Hiranga Waka Press website. There's one more question I have for you, and it regards a piece someone wrote about the book. Your mate Victor Billett, he wrote that the men Britain writes about are now at the peak of their careers, wealth, power, at least those that survived and in some cases thrived. For those who didn't make it, this book remembers. It is an account. It does not preach, glamorize, or whitewash. It remembers. Did he hit it on the money with that?
He hit it on the... He hit the money, hit the mark. Victor knows me pretty well, and that's definitely part of the book. It's not solely about Otago Boys. The institution's not that important to me to make it just about that. It's a book about family and relationships and love. There's a lot of humour in there. But yes, it does sort of stand up for those boys who went through all boys schools, who maybe didn't do as well, didn't turn into All Blacks or business leaders or whatever,
or National Party frontliners.
Assholes. Yeah. So yeah, it's for those boys as well, men as well.
I appreciate you coming and taking the time to come in and have a chat. Do you have any final thoughts, words, opinions, considerations to leave our listeners with?
No. If you can afford to buy the book, buy it. Otherwise, it'll be in the public library. So please take a look.
Awesome. And the WIFF launch party is Sunday, 3 p.m.
That's the one. See
awesome.
You there.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, thanks, Britton.
Thanks, man.
Take care, man. All right, folks. That was Britton Dukes. We're talking to Britton about his debut novel, Party Boy, which, as I said before, is at Whitcalls. It's at Te Heringa Waka. And if you can't afford those, go to the library. Get a library card. Do some reading. It's an awesome book. I can't wait to sink my teeth into it further. We've got the Broken Heartbreakers.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.